You are one of the most influential artists in the world of classical music, from late 90s till now. How would you describe your evolution as a musician, as a human being?
Wonderful question, first of all. I think that we all travel on a path to find the truest calling and version of what it is you can offer people. From the very beginning, my relationship to music was not so singular about the art form as it was a means of learning about people and connecting to the feeling of people. From a very young age, I was more moved by music on an emotional level than I was dazzled by music or enticed by the virtuosity of the instrument. I think I've always been searching, how is it possible to speak more directly to people and to speak more powerfully to people? My own personal evolution has been to diversify quite a lot what I do. So starting a music charity, and now with the Edinburgh International Festival, and trying.
And the Benedetti Foundation.
The Benedetti Foundation, trying always to believe in people's capacity for curiosity and wanting to find out more about something. If you are open and personal and warm and you invite them in without a judgment, I don't come from a knowledgeable musical family. And so I understand how insecure people can be about not knowing something.
Yes.
And I understand how that feels, and it can stop you from being curious. It makes you defensive instead of curious. So my life purpose really is to try to bring down the wall from another person, and then I can really speak to them or present something to them.
Yes. There are thousands different strokes and colors, so many bow grips and vibrati, so many variations in intonation for so many violin pieces. What is, in your vision, the ideal communication between a violinist and the piece she is or he is preparing? I think it is always a difficult process, and it's hard to explain, to put it in words.
Also, a great question. I've never been asked that question before. I think, again, as you said, there are thousands of choices that you make and thousands of options of ways just of approaching basic sound, approaching all the technical possibilities with the instrument. And then you have the most powerful presence in the room, which is the piece of music that you're trying to interpret. I think quite often we'll put something on top of a piece of music, but instead you want to be almost passive and just trying to feel and listen inside of the piece of music. And it will then give to you a lot of information about how to approach it in the most genuine way. And I think, you know, some instrumentalists, they have very distinct styles, so their sound is their sound no matter what composer they're playing.
Yes.
or their technique, the way they vibrate, the way they do these things are pretty much the same always. And some of those violinists have been some of the greatest we have come across. Someone like Jascha Heifetz, he sounds quite similar no matter
yes.
what he's playing.
Yes.
But I think today, in this environment of real cultural cross and awareness of other sounds, I think it's a beauty of today if an instrumentalist can be a real chameleon. You can completely switch everything about your technique and attack and sound production to get as far inside a particular style as possible. And for me, I found my playing improved actually when I was able to start doing that more. So physically and violinistically, I feel completely different playing Vivaldi, Marsalis, Tchaikovsky, and Brahms.
Yes. Nowadays, many violinists embrace the idea of adapting vibrato mm-hmm. as the main tool to add expression mm-hmm. to the music.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, let's say, fashions in the world of violin in comparison with hi-fets or sharing. In a Bach partita, for example, do you feel that today you have more freedom as a violinist?
You have a lot more freedom, but with so many choices comes another set of challenges.
Yes, of course.
And is the same with music interpretation, with composition study, yes, with how to present a concert on stage. Now you're in an environment where almost anything is possible, and it can be extremely restricting because the choice is overwhelming. And I think that I have very strong taste when it comes to Baroque interpretation, and started my own Baroque group. But the driver is only, is the dance more powerful? Is the harmony within the instrument more clear? Is the resonance more full? I'm never trying to think theoretically. I'm never really trying to think too historically informed. Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, I don't know. But I think you must research and learn as much as you can, but primarily you have to be driven by the power and quality of the sound. And that will be different for different people.
What connections can you establish between your spiritual world and the Wynton Marsalis adventurous music, which led you to win in 2020 the Grammy for the best classical instrumental solo for the violin concerto in D and fiddle dance suite?
Again, a fantastic question, because it was a very difficult process of trying to let go. One of the hardest things for people to learn to do is to let go and allow what happens when you give over to another spiritual force that is maybe not the one that you're so used to and is so common for you. So I found in the process of learning the piece, I became more tight and more tense and more trying to control everything. And then after a certain point, I felt like a awakening, and then rhythmically, harmonically, all the colors, suddenly I found a completely new type of freedom. But it's so connected to how you physically occupy the space on stage. And I have to, you'll see with the jazz orchestra and with Wynton himself, their spatial and physical occupation on stage is a very different vibration from what we train to do all the time in classical music. So I had to find my own hybrid ground that really felt authentic to me and felt right to me. And what's been interesting is over time, the orchestras have been playing more of his music, and they have, it's like almost like a secret language that passed around the world. They yes. now feel much more comfortable in this language, yes. and they occupy that space much more comfortably.
You play Gabriel, made in 1717 by Stradivari. It's worth an estimated £2 million.
Debatable exactly the...
Yes. And from what I understood, previously belonged to an ancestor of Princess Diana.
Yes. Well, actually, this is not this violin. It's a previous violin that I played called the Earl Spencer Stradivarius.
Yes, I understand.
So that had the connection to what was owned by a relative of hers. But this violin is not the case.
Yes. Yeah. Maestra Benedetti, many impresarios or agents have imposed new so-called stars, new talents, but sometimes these new stars don't have an idea how to play a chamber music piece. Mm-hmm. Am I right or wrong?
You're right. And it's very interesting, the arbitrary hierarchy of skill, as if the solo instrumentalist is somehow the best.
Yes.
That is also absolutely not true. The solo instrumentalist is best at certain skills that have the highest glamour the highest star quality and sort of fascination from the public, but it's not a higher skill. It's not a higher skill in integrity than a musician that plays chamber music to the highest level and a musician that has all-round sensitivity and skill set. So for me, it's always been such a strange idea that the soloist is somehow above anybody else. They're above with certain sound production, a kind of star-like quality that you can't teach, I guess. You have to, it just has to be there, and also a virtuosity with the instrument. But it's only one layer of being a musician. And it certainly does not mean that you are then a great chamber musician, orchestral musician, teacher, etc., etc. There are many different skills.
How difficult is for a great musician to find the balance in his career, in his life?
It's difficult, and I think maybe, like we talked about before, with the increased number of choices, yes, becomes a different set of challenges. And I think that is also true for the kind of portfolio career that is now more common. Musicians, certainly in the UK, I think in many places in Europe also, are kind of expected to have an unusual set of skills.
Yes.
And they don't necessarily complement each other. They don't necessarily make the other skill higher or deeper. And I think it is a time of transition now. The world where you studied a certain thing and you would either become orchestral musician, chamber musician, soloist, conductor, teacher. Now the portfolio looks much more mixed. And I think a lot of young musicians are trying to determine the new look of the music industry and the music profession. They're trying to determine for themselves what do they want their careers to be. And it's very personal, but young individuals are being very creative with what the future will look like.
There is perhaps too much technology now in 2023 because of the internet or the CD companies, the purity, the values of the classical music. It all seems, at least to me, to evaporate somehow. What do you think?
I think we have to work much harder to create the singularity of one moment. And to
live that moment.
To live that moment in the present, but also to prepare your audience to be completely here and
yes,
there. And I have to say, attending the concert in Timișoara, I feel there is still a protected sense of attention and community here that is deeper than elsewhere in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that whether it is around the pace or the a number of distractions, or each time we interact with a phone, which for many people is hours and hours and hours a day, there's always something new appearing to take you in another direction. And it does something, of course, to the brain after time. And so how in classical music, you must have patience, you must have time, you must have, if you go to a live concert, you are in one place, not moving for probably 2 hours. That in itself is very rare in today's world.
Yes.
So what can we do to make people feel and appreciate that as something like that has a sanctity to it and has a sacredness to it, and that we still want to remain in our lives?
A word about the world we live in.
The world we live in it's difficult to get to the truth. It's difficult to get to the sincerity. For me, the main observation is that it's saturated. And the saturation means that the clarity of a thing being a thing, and we understand in not just information or like some intellectual depiction of it, but we feel in our hearts what the thing is. And we understand the symbolic meaning of it, we understand the weight of it, we understand the meaning of it. I think that is becoming an increasing challenge when there is a saturation of layer upon layer upon layer of societal infrastructure, and this is the way you do things, and this is what we know about people, and this is the accumulation of history and stories. It's a lot. And if we could get more to the meaning of a thing and the weight of a thing, we would be more connected to the floor, to the ground.
Have you found the philosophy, the credo of your life?
No, but I'm increasingly open and unsure, which I know is the right direction. I'm not becoming more convinced that I'm right about this or right about that. I'm less convinced and ask more questions now than I did 10 years ago. So I know that that's right.
Besides the music, what things are important to you?
People, always people, love and relationships.
As you go forward through music and life, what do you want to achieve artistically, creatively?
Always to help people find each other and to help people see each other with more tolerance and nuance, and always trying to change a perspective for the better, for myself and for all the people I meet and have the chance to learn from.
Thank you very much. It was an honor for me.
Oh, it's an absolute huge pleasure for me. Very rare interview. Thank you so much.